بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. أما بعد, نعم إن شاء الله تبارك وتعالى إخواني وأخواتنا, we're going to begin with tonight's last درس or محاضرة that is going to be presented by, to my right, الشيخ أبو عبد الرحمن حسين العوايش, and to my left, الشيخ أبو أنس محمد موسى النصر حفظهم الله تعالى. And they're going to discuss the reasons that assist a person in making tawbah, and the barriers or the preventive measures or the things that will prevent him from making a tawbah. And before we begin tonight's muhadara, the lecture, we'd like to welcome those brothers who are tuned in from across the globe, in particular our brothers from QSS, the Quran and Sunnah Society, back there in the United States as well as in Canada. So without any further delay, we're going to begin, inshallah, the muhadara.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا, من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له, وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له, وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, فبعد أن بين الإخوة الشيوخ قبل وجوب التوبة وحث الشارع عليها وبيان فضائلها وأهميتها وأنه لن يدخل أحد الجنة إلا إذا تاب من الشرك وإذا مات متلبسا بالمعاصي التي هي دون الشرك فأمره إلى الله, إن شاء غفر له وإن شاء عذبه بقدر ذنوبه. لكن كلنا يريد التوبة, وكل ابن آدم خطاء, وخير الخطائين التوابون كما ذكر ذلك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فلسنا ملائكة ولسنا أنبياء, لسنا منزهين ومعصومين من الخطيئة ومن الذنب. فإذا كان هذا هو حالنا فلا بد أن نقع في أخطاء, ولا بد أن نقع أن يقع منا الهفو والخطأ والذنوب والمعاصي. نريد التوبة لكن لا بد أن نأخذ بأسبابها. فالتوبة لا يكفي النية فيها, لا بد من الأخذ بالأسباب المعينة على التوبة النصوحة, التوبة الصادقة. وإلا كانت دعوة, والدعاوى إن لم تقم عليها البينات فهي مجرد دعاوى, كما قال الشاعر, والدعاوى إن لم يقيموا عليها بينات أبناؤها أدعياء. أول هذه الأسباب حسب ما رأيت واجتهدت الصدق, أن يكون هذا المذنب صادق في توبته, أن يكون صادقا في توبته. فإن علم الله عز وجل فيه صدق التوجه, صدق العزم على التوبة, وفقه الله عز وجل لها ويسرها له. ونستفيد ذلك من قصة الصحابة الذين خلفوا, المخلفين الثلاثة, كعب بن مالك وصاحبيه, وكيف أنهم تخلفوا عن غزوة تبوك مع قيام المقتضى ومع توفر الأسباب المعينة لهم على الجهاد, ولكنهم تخلفوا بلا عذر وبلا سبب. وقد تخلف غيرهم كثير, ولكنهم كانوا من المنافقين من القعدة واختلقوا الأعذار الكاذبة، أخذ النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بظاهرهم بظاهر أقوالهم، ولكن الله أنزل فيهم قرآنا يتلى إلى يوم الدين يفضحهم. فكانوا فأتوا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحلفون له الأيمان المغلظة ليرضى عنهم، ولكن الله عز وجل وصفهم بأنهم رجس لأن بواطنهم خبيثة، لم يكونوا صادقين في أيمانهم، يحلفون لكم لترضوا عنهم. لكن هؤلاء الثلاثة كعب وصاحبيه كانوا صادقين، لم يسلكوا مسلك المنافقين في الأيمان الكاذبة. فأنزل الله عز وجل بعد 50 يوما قرآنا يتلى في براءتهم، وأن الله قد تاب عليهم بعد أن ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت، فبالصدق نجوا، بالصدق نجوا، وبالصدق تاب الله عليهم. فهذا كعب يقول لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنني يا رسول الله، يا رسول الله، لو حدثتك حديث كذب فإني أعتقد وأظن أنني سينزل في قرآن يكذبني، فلن أستطيع أن أخرج من سخطك في سخط الله إلا بالصدق. وحينما تاب الله عليه قال: يا رسول الله، إنما نجاني الصدق، إن تصدق الله يصدقك. حينما قال رجل: يا رسول الله، ما لهذا اتبعته، حينما قسم له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم سهما قال: على ماذا اتبعتني؟ قال: اتبعتك على أن أضرب بسهم ها هنا ويخرج منها. فلما قاموا للمعركة وتفقدوا القتلى وجدوا واحدا قد أصابه سهم من هنا وخرج منه، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أهو هو هذا الذي قال ما قال؟ قالوا: نعم يا رسول. قال: صدق الله فصدقه الله. ولهذا أنزل الله عز وجل: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين، بعد أن قبل الله توبة كعب وصاحبيه بصدقهم.
Okay, Ikhwani, the Shaykh opened up by reading some aspects of Khutbat al-Hajj that is well known to everyone. And then, after that, he began by saying some of the shuyukh who have preceded me already, they have spoken about the wujub of a tawbah, or the obligation that we all have, that we have to make a tawbah, and how the religion of al-Islam has encouraged the tawbah of the slave. And some of them have also spoken about the virtues of a tawbah and its importance in the everyday life of the Muslim. And it has also been addressed the issue of the person will not enter into the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except and until he has made tawbah from every form of shirk in all of his manifestations. And it has also been dealt with the issue that a person from the Muslims who has fallen into sin and mistake, the dhunub and the ma'asi, his affair is with Allah azza wa jalla if he dies without making shirk with Allah Ta'ala. If Allah wants, chooses, Allah will forgive him. And if Allah Ta'ala chooses, Allah will punish him. All of these issues have been discussed already. All of us, Ikhwani, we want and we need to make tawbah. This is something that is well known. We are in need of making tawbah individually. As the Prophet told us, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and what has been mentioned, all of Adam's children, they make sins. And the best of those who make sins are the ones who repent. The ones who make repentance and tawbah for what they have done. Because no one who is here is from the malaika, from the angels, nor are we from the prophets or the messengers, nor are we people who are infallible, we're ma'sumun, and we don't make mistakes. Instead, the way that we've been created in our nature is that we're going to make mistakes and we're going to fall into mistakes. This is our condition, every single individual from amongst us. And that is that we're going to fall into mistakes and indiscretions and do things that are in contrast to what Allah has commanded us to do. We're going to make dhunub and ma'asi. So everyone has to make tawbah. But the issue now is, in order to make tawbah, we should understand that there is a correct way of performing the tawbah. There are asbab, or reasons, that a person has to know about these reasons in order to make the correct tawbah. Because our desire and our niyyah, our intent to make tawbah is not enough by itself. That alone will not guarantee that you are going to make the correct tawbah. So a tawbah, ikhwani, has a number of reasons and ways, things that have to be taken care of. The first thing that I'm going to mention today is the first issue that I want to mention today concerning the tawbah is that we have to have truthfulness. We have to have a sidq. Because the Shaykh said, if you do not take by these asbab that I'm about to tell you, these reasons, then you're just a person who's making mere claims. And as the poet said, in making this point, he said that the person who makes a claim, if he doesn't have any proofs to support and to prove the seriousness of his intent concerning those claims, then the ones who were making those claims, they're just people just making mere claims. You have to have some proof to support and to prove your sincerity of the claim that you're making. So the first proof, or the first issue, to prove that you really want to make tawbah, is that you have to have a sidq. You have to be sadiq. You want to make the true tawbah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that you have this sidq and this truthfulness in your heart, in terms of making tawbah, then Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to, inshallah, give you the tawfiq, the success, and He's going to make it easy for you to make tawbah. And the benefit that we take this particular point from, where does this come from that you have to have sidq? It comes from the story of the three companions who didn't go out to participate in the battle of Tabuk, radiallahu anhum. And at the top of them, the Shaykh named one of them, who was Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhum. From his story and the story of the two men who went with, who did not go to the jihad with him, we get the understanding of the importance of making tawbah with as-sidq. Sheikh went on to say that these three companions, they had all of the means and all of the ways in terms of preparation that would suggest they should have gone out to perform the jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They didn't have any excuses. Everything was within their ability and their power to go out and to participate in the jihad. But they remained behind. There were another group of people who refused to make the jihad. Those people who stayed behind in Medina while the people went out to make jihad, and they were from the munafiqun, the hypocrites. And the hypocrites, they came with a number of excuses that they gave to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were lying, not telling the truth. But these particular companions were not like that. So when the munafiqun or the hypocrites refused to go out, and then when Rasulullah came back sallallahu alaihi wasallam from al-jihad and he entered into Medina, the munafiqun went to him and they told him their excuses and they lied. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them and what they said based upon the apparent kalam. They said with their tongues they had excuses and they lied. Rasulullah took their excuses. The Shaykh went on to say that the Qur'an came down and it was revealed. The Qur'an was revealed and it exposed everyone's reality. Allah Ta'ala described those people, the munafiqeen, as people who had filth inside of their heart. That on the inside they were dirty and polluted, but on the outside they were saying something that was contrary to that. They weren't the people who wanted to make Tawbah, and they weren't the people who had a fit. As Allah Ta'ala said, they swear to you, Ya Muhammad. They swear to you. Say, Wallahi. They say that to you so that you can become pleased with them. That's what Allah described and how He described those people. As for Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and the rest of the two other people who were with him, they didn't present any lies to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They had the ability to go out to make the jihad, and they didn't go. But instead of lying, they remained truthful. And they said what their reality was. So Allah Ta'ala revealed their reality in the Quran. After 15 days, the earth had became restricted upon them. And then Allah Ta'ala revealed the Quran, explaining what their situation was, and that they made Tawbah, and that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala made Tawbah upon them, that Allah forgave them for their mistakes. And all of this took place after the earth had became restricted upon them, and they were struggling with their condition. So it was with the truthfulness or the sidq that they were saved. Ka'b ibn Malik, ikhwani, in this particular fitna that transpired, he had a number of things that he had said. He came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at one point, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I felt that if I were, that someone just wrote me here that he said 50 days, I think I said 15 days, after 50 days, 50, not 15, 15. Ka'b said, Ya Rasulullah, if I were to lie to you about why I didn't go out in the jihad, I knew that the Quran was going to be revealed upon me, and it was going to expose me. So I told you the truth. Nothing saved me, Ya Rasulullah, in this fitna, except that I had a sidq. I was truthful with you and truthful to you. So this is the proof of the person who wants to make Tawbah. His Tawbah has to be the Tawbah that is sadiqah. He has to be sadiq, truthful, sincere and honest. Similar to the other man who wanted to make jihad. And he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he asked him, I want to go and I want to make jihad. I want to be shot in my neck right here with an arrow, and I want the arrow to come out the other side of my neck. Meaning I want to die and get shahada. If I do that, would I be successful? Rasulullah told him, no. So they went out and they participated in the war. After the war, there was a man who was found, and in fact, an arrow shot him in one side of the neck, and it came out the other side of the neck, and the man lied there dead. When they found the body, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to him, he asked the people, is this that man? Is he the one? The people say, yes, that is the one who came to you and made that statement, Ya Rasulullah. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was truthful with Allah. He had sidq in what he wanted to do, what he said. He was truthful with Allah, so Allah was truthful with him. Meaning Allah gave him the success to complete what he wanted to do. And ikhwani, the point that I want to make to you here, I want to make here, is I want you to draw your attention to the ayat that Allah revealed when He said, O you who believe, fear Allah and be with those who are truthful. Be with the sadiqeen. Those people were truthful. The Shaykh said that this ayat was revealed after the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and those who were with him. So it goes to show, if you want to have the Tawbah, the first sabab from the asbab is to be having sidq, to be sadiq.
الأسباب المعينة على التوبة كثيرة سأذكرها ثم أتكلم بشيء من التوسع حول بعضها لأن بما يسمح به الوقت. فمن الأسباب المعينة على التوبة طلب العلم والرجوع إلى العلماء واتخاذ الرفقة الصالحة والإقامة بالبيئة الصالحة، يعني العيش والحياة في البيئة الصالحة والوسط الصالح. وهذا كله مأخوذ من حديث ذاك الرجل الذي أسرف على نفسه بالمعاصي فقتل 100 نفس. كذلك من الأسباب المعينة على التوبة لزوم الطاعات، لزوم الطاعات، لأن الله عز وجل يقول: وإني لغفار لمن تاب وآمن وعمل صالحا ثم اهتدى. فهنا قوله تعالى ثم اهتدى يدل على الاستقامة على الطاعات ولزوم الطاعات. كذلك من الأسباب المعينة على التوبة اجتناب الكبائر، إن مجرد اجتنابك للكبائر يجعل الصغائر التي تقع فيها مغفورة، لأن الله عز وجل يقول: إن تجتنبوا كبائر ما تنهون عنه نكفر عنكم سيئاتكم. وإن اجتناب الكبائر يجعل الصغائر مغفورة بالصلاة، بالمشي إلى المساجد، بالوضوء، بالعمرة إلى العمرة، برمضان إلى رمضان، بالحج، بمصافحة المسلم لأخيه، هناك مكفرات كثيرة. والعلماء يقولون: لا كبيرة مع استغفار ولا صغيرة مع إصرار. ثم أخيرا إنكار المنكر والزجر بالهجر، هذا مما يعين على التوبة، لأن هذا يشكل ضغط نفسي على هذا المذنب حينما يهجره المجتمع. فإن هؤلاء الذين قد تقدم ذكرهم الذين خلفوا هجرهم المجتمع الإسلامي، بل هجراتهم نساؤهم، أمروا أن يعتزلوا نساءهم، هجرهم أقرباؤهم، كان أحدهم يسلم على الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام فلا يرد عليه السلام، يسلم على أقرب الناس إليه فلا يرد عليه السلام، حتى ضاقت عليهم الأرض بما رحبت. فشكل ذلك ضغطا نفسيا عليهم في أنهم قد أذنبوا ويجب عليهم أن يقلعوا عن هذا الذنب. ولهذا قال الله عز وجل: ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لفسدت الأرض. نعود إلى الأسباب الأربعة التي ذكرت في حديث الرجل الذي قتل 99 نفسا ثم كملهم على 100. وقصته باختصار كما جاءت في الأحاديث أن هذا الرجل كان مجرما قاتلا، مدمن إجرام، مدمن قتل، سفاك، سفاح، يعني يقتل الناس بأتفه الأسباب. فقتل 99 نفسا ثم تحركت فيه نوازع الخير، أراد أن يتوب، صار عنده نية للتوبة، فقال، سأل من حوله: دلوني على عالم، لأنه يعلم أن العالم هو الذي يشفيه من هذا الداء. فأخطأ الناس أو من سألهم فدلوه على عابد، على راهب، عابد مجتهد في العبادة لكن ليس عنده علم. فذهب إليه وقال له: إني قتلت 99 نفسا فهل لي من توبة؟ فقال له: قتلت 99 نفسا وتريد أن تتوب؟ لا توبة لك. فقتله فكمل على 100. ثم تحركت فيه نوازع الخير مرة أخرى، فقال: دلوني على عالم، فدل على عالم، عالم بالشرع، عالم بالحلال والحرام. فأتى إلى هذا العالم فقال له: إني قتلت 100 نفس فهل لي من توبة؟ فقال له هذا العالم: ومن يحول بينك وبين التوبة؟ الله هو الذي يتوب عن عباده، غير أنك يا بني في أرض سوء، أرض جريمة، أرض تعينك على القتل، انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا، سمى له قرية صالحة، انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا فإن فيها قوما صالحين فاعبد الله معهم، يعني أقم بينهم. وهذا ما نستفيد من هذا الحديث، أنه يجب على المسلم إذا كان في بيئة تعينه لا تعينه على طاعة الله، في بيئة فيها الإجرام وفيها الانحراف وفيها الضلال والكفر أنه يجب عليه أن يهاجر فرارا بدينه حتى يحفظ عليه دينه الذي هو رأس ماله. انطلق هذا الرجل الذي أراد أن يتوب، فلما توسط الطريق انتهى أجله، مات، قبض ملك الموت روحه. فتنازعت فيه ملائكة الرحمة وملائكة العذاب. ملائكة العذاب تقول إنه لم يعمل خيرا قط، وملائكة الرحمة تقول إنه خرج مهاجرا إلى الله تائبا. فماذا فعل؟ فأراد الله أن يرحمه فأرسل له ملكا على هيئة رجل وقال لهم قيسوا المسافة التي بينه وبين أرض الصالحين، فإن كان إليها إلى أرض الصالحين أقرب فهو مع ملائكة الرحمة، وإذا كان إلى أرض الإجرام والقتل أقرب فهو مع ملائكة العذاب. فلما أراد الله أن يرحمه أمر أرض الصالحين أن تقربي، وأرض الفساد والشر أرض القتل أن تباعدي، فوجدوه أقرب إلى أرض الصالحين بشبر. وفي رواية فلما حضرته الوفاة ناء بصدره، يعني أخذ يصارع الموت، فتقدم إلى أرض الصالحين شبرا، فكان مع ملائكة الرحمة رحمه الله، رحمه الله بإرادته بصدقه، لأنه سعى وأراد وعزم وتحرك في الاتجاه الصحيح. والشاهد إخواني في هذه القصة العجيبة أنه لما رجع إلى العابد الجاهل أفتاه خطأ، فتسبب هذا العابد في جريمة أخرى تضاف إلى جرائمه أنه قتله، لأنه تصدر للفتوى وله وليس لها بأهل، فكان في ذلك أن تسبب في قتل نفسه وتسبب لهذا المجرم بزيادة الإجرام. الأمر الآخر أنه حينما ذهب إلى العالم وجد العلاج، ولهذا العلماء لأنهم ورثة الأنبياء هم أطباء القلوب، وهم الذين ينقذون الأمة من مصائبها وينقذون الأمة من بلائها. وكذلك إخواني أنه انتقل إلى رفقة صالحة وبيئة صالحة، والرفيق يؤثر في رفيقه، المرء على دين خليله، فلينظر أحدكم إلى من يخالل. وقال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام هم القوم لا يشقى بهم جليسهم، مجالس الصالحين، البيئات الصالحة. وما اجتمع قوم في بيت من بيوت الله يتلون كتاب الله ويتدارسونه بينهم إلا نزلت عليهم السكينة وغشيتهم الرحمة وحفتهم الملائكة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. فقد أصاب حينما أمر هذا المجرم التائب أن يذهب إلى أرض الصالحين، أراد أن يخرجه من هذا الوسط الإجرامي الذي يعينه على الجريمة. وفعلا حينما خرج وتوجه فقد سلك السبيل الصحيح. الشاهد والخلاصة إخواني أن العلم بداية الإصلاح الديني كانت في العلم. أول خمس آيات نزلت على قلب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم تدعوه إلى العلم، اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. ما نزلت آية تنهى عن شرب الخمر ولا عن وأد البنات ولا عن أكل الميتة ولا عن السلب والنهب الذي كانت تعيشه الجاهلية وغير ذلك من مساوئ الأخلاق، إنما بدأت بالدعوة إلى العلم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق، خلق الإنسان من علق، اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم، علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. وقال الله في موضع آخر هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة. ولهذا لا يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون، والله عز وجل يقول إنما يخشى الله من عباده العلماء. فبالعلم تزكو النفوس، وبالعلم يعرف العالم الحلال والحرام فيجتنب الحرام ويفعل الحلال، ويعرف حق الله فيخشى الله في السر والعلن ويتقي الله ويتوب إليه وكلما أحدث سيئة أتبعها بحسنة كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأتبع السيئة الحسنة تمحها. هذا وبالله التوفيق، وأكتفي بهذا القدر، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وسلم.
أوكي يا أخوان. الشيخ he said that
the asbab or the reason
the Sheikh said that the asbab or the reason that will help a person to make tawbah, they are many. But right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to mention a few of them consecutively, and then depending upon the time I'll go into detail. One of the asbab is to search for knowledge and to acquire knowledge. Talabul ilm. And another one is that you return your affair back to the ulama. Another reason that will help you to make tawbah is that you seek out and you find for yourself companions who are righteous. And another one is that you live in an environment, in a society that is righteous, that will help you to be a person of righteousness. And all of the things that we just mentioned just now, the four things that we just mentioned, all of them we understand as a result of the hadith of the man who killed 100 people. Another thing that will help you to make tawbah is to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have the lazum of the ta'ah, to be consistent in obeying Allah ta'ala as He said in the Quran, verily Allah is ghaffar, He is oft and most forgiving to the one who makes tawbah and to the one who believes and he does the righteous deeds and then they are guided aright. The Shaykh said that this statement of Allah thumma ihtada, he said that this statement means that they are guided aright, means that they have al-istiqama and that they have the lazum of the ta'at, that they are perpetually and always obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that will help a person to make the tawbah is to avoid the major sins, not to fall into the major sins, to try to stay away from the major sins, because if you made a conscious effort to stay away from the major sins, then that will automatically help you to be forgiven for your minor sins, the fact that you're making an effort to stay away from the major sins. As Allah said in the Quran, if you people only avoid the major sins that you have been prohibited from, then Allah will give you the kafara for the minor sins. So when the individual stays away from the major sins, then his everyday ibadat of al-Islam help to wash away the minor sins from the saga'ir. And that's just simply by making an effort to avoid the kaba'ir. So the salat, walking to the masjid, making wudu, making umrah to another umrah, Ramadan to another Ramadan, performing hajj, when Muslims come together and they shake hands. Many reasons. If you do these things, then they wipe away your minor sins. So, from the things that would help you to have tawbah, from the asbab, is to make an effort to avoid the major sins. And the minor sins will be erased as a result of that. The ulama, they used to say that there is no major sin with al-istighfar. If you make istighfar and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive you, and there is no minor sin if the person continues to do it. So you have to make istighfar and you'll be forgiven for the major sins. But if you continue to do the minor sins, then they are there and you have to deal with them or you will be dealt with. Another sabab from the asbab, another reason is to make the inkar of the munkar, to make the inkar, those evil things that we see going on around us in our society, wherever we happen to be. One of the things that can help you to make tawbah is to make inkar about those particular issues. Like we see in the story of Ka'b ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, and those who were with him, the three people who remained behind, when they may the sin of not going out to perform the jihad with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Islamic society that they were in and that they found themselves in, made inkar upon them for not going out. Even their women avoided them. Even their relatives avoided them and made inkar because of what they did. They would come to the masjid like Ka'b did, and he gave the salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah didn't return the salam, so he didn't know whether he returned the salam back to him or not. Their relatives did the same thing. They didn't give them the salam. Why? Because those individuals, they made some dhunub. They fell into some mistakes. And when the Islamic society recognized that, they put pressure on them, and then it made those people want to act a certain way. So it is as Allah has mentioned in the Quran. If it wasn't for, as Allah mentioned in the ayat, if it wasn't for the fact that Allah had one group of people to repel another group of people, then there would be fasad in the earth. So the Islamic society, when they make inkar and say this is wrong, don't do that, and they take positions against people, then that will make the person also help him to make tawbah. So inkar of the munkar. So ikhwani, when you take the four things that we mentioned concerning the story of, when you take the four things that we just mentioned, concerning, when you take the four first issues that we mentioned, concerning the man who killed 99 people, and then he killed 100 people, it'll bring us to the, when you take the four first issues that the Shaykh mentioned, and didn't go into detail to explain them. Now he wanted to explain them now. Taking good friends, getting knowledge, referring your affair back to the ulama, and living in a good society. Those were the first four things he mentioned. Now he's going to explain where that comes from, because he only alluded to it. The man who killed 99 people. Getting knowledge will help you. Going back to the ulama will help you. Taking friends and companions who are religious will help you. Being in a society that is religious will help you. Now these first four things he mentioned, now he's going to explain them. They come from the man who killed 99 people, and then he killed another person and he made it 100. This individual was a criminal. He was a murderer. And he just wasn't a murderer, but he called him a safah. A person who went overboard in shedding blood and spilling blood. He would kill people for the simplest of reasons, and it was easy for him to murder people. But Allah Ta'ala put it in his heart, the desire to make tawbah to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So he came to his people, and he said to his people, guide me to the scholar from amongst you. Guide me to the scholar from amongst you. So the people, when they were asked this question by this man, who understood and he knew that the scholar was the one who was equipped to cure him of this disease that he had. He was a person with mudman. He was addicted to shedding blood and killing people. So he had a sickness. He knew that the scholar was the one who had the ability to cure his sickness, bi-ibnillah. So he came to the people, guide me to the one who was a scholar from amongst us. So they guided him to a rahib, or a person who was given to making a lot of worship. He came to the rahib, the one who made a lot of worship, the abid. And he told that man, look, I have murdered now 99 people. And I want to make tawbah. I want to return to Allah and make tawbah and get forgiven for my sins. Can I make tawbah? The rahib said to him, you killed 99 people? And you want to know if you can make tawbah? No, there's no tawbah for you. You can't make tawbah. Too many people you killed. Sheikh said that when the man heard that, he proceeded to kill that man and he made him the 100th person. Still, despite that, in his heart, he wanted still to make tawbah. So he went back to the people and he said to the people, I told you people, guide me to the scholar from amongst you. So they guided him ultimately to the scholar who was from amongst them. When he went to the scholar and he said, I have killed 100 people and I want to make tawbah. Can I make tawbah? The scholar said, and what will be the barrier? What will come between you and tawbah? There's nothing that will come between you and tawbah. But if you want to make tawbah, then you have to leave the land where you are right now, because it's a land of bad people. And go to the land that's over here with these people, righteous people, who are worshiping Allah. Go over there and worship Allah with them. The Shaykh said, so from the benefit of this, he stopped and he said, from the benefit of what has been mentioned already from this hadith is, if a Muslim is in a bad environment, an environment of ijram, crime, an environment of inhiraf, where the people are doing all kinds of things that are not straight and correct, an environment where the people are dalal and on dalal and the people are astray. If he finds himself in that kind of environment, then he has to make it his business to do something about changing it and escaping from that place and making hijra. Migrating to a place where he can save himself and his deen. Because his deen is his ra'sul mal. It is his capital. It is the most important thing that he possesses. So the man took the advice of the scholar and he proceeded to leave those people where he was doing evil at with them, and he started to go on his journey to make Tawbah and to meet up with the righteous people to worship with them. When he arrived to the halfway point from where he was leaving to where he was going, death came to him. So he died at the halfway point. The Shaykh said when he died in that particular place, which was the halfway point from where he left to where he was going, Allah Azza wa Jal sent down the Malaika. Two groups of Malaika. The first group was the Malaika of punishment, the Malaikatul Adab. And then the second group was the Malaika of Ar-Rahmah. The angels of punishment said, we have more right to take him and to punish him because he never did any good and he killed all of those people, 100 people unjustly. The Malaika of Rahmah said, no, we have more rights to him because he was turning to Allah with sincerity and he wanted to make Tawbah and that's what he died upon. So Allah sent a third angel. One angel came down in the form of a man and he came in order to judge between those two groups of angels. The Malaika of Al-Adab who wanted his body to punish him and the Malaika of Al-Rahmah who wanted his body to give him the Rahmah. The Shaykh said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the man was laying there, the malaika of that came down to be the judge, he said, measure. Measure the distance from where he was leaving or coming from, and also measure the distance from where he fell down to where he was going. Whichever of the two distances you find him closer to that place, then that will determine which group of malaika will take his soul and deal with him. So Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the earth that belonged to the people of righteousness. Allah ordered the earth to come close to the man. So he wound and he ordered the earth that was close to the criminals to go further away from the man. So when this part of the earth of the righteous people came closer and the earth of the criminals went further away, the man wound up closer to the side of the righteous people. He said, the Shaykh said, in another narration of this hadith, when the man fell down and he was dying, the man himself put his chest out and he was going towards the earth of the righteous people, making an effort to get there, to get closer to there, to continue the journey towards there. So when that was his case, he was taken by the Malaika of Ar-Rahmah. The Shaykh said that the point of all of this, or the shahid from all of this, is that when the man, after all of that, one of the points he wanted to bring to our attention of this tremendous story, the four things that he mentioned that will benefit and help you to make Tawbah, knowledge, going back to the ulama, having good friends, and also being in a good society and environment, he made that point. Now he said something we need to consider about this hadith, and that is, when the man returned his affair to the ignorant man in the beginning of the story, I killed 99 people, can I make Tawbah? That ignorant man was guilty of making a crime. The ignorant man was guilty of committing a crime. And the crime that he committed led to his own destruction and his own murder. And that is, he made a tasaddur. He put himself forth to give fatwa. He put himself forth in front of the people to give an Islamic verdict and he wasn't qualified to do so. It wasn't his job, nor was it his responsibility. Not only did the ignorant man make the crime of killing himself, but he also led to the murder of another innocent person, which was himself. So the man, he made the man who killed him also guilty of another crime. So the Sheikh went on to say that we have to return our affairs to the ulama, because the scholars, ikhwani, they are the inheritors of the anbiya. They are the doctors of the heart and the ones who solve the problems and the sicknesses that the people are dealing with. They are the ones who are qualified to deal with the issue. They are the ones who will save the ummah from the problems that are falling upon the ummah. From the benefits of this story as well, ikhwani, is that it goes to show the importance, as we mentioned, about being with the people who are righteous to help you to make tawbah. That is one of the main reasons that will help you to make tawbah. The hadith said that a person is on the religion of his friend or his companion. So that each and every one of you look and consider. Look at who you have taken as a companion. That will help you to make tawbah. Another hadith says, concerning the righteous people, the salihin, that their sit-ins, when you sit with them, with righteous people, then their sit-ins, you never become bored when you're sitting with the righteous people. The other hadith that clearly illustrates and shows the importance of sitting with the people of the deen and righteousness is the hadith. There are not a group of people who come together and they sit in one of the houses from the houses of Allah, and they read the book of Allah between themselves and they rehearse it amongst themselves, except that the tranquility descends upon them and the mercy of Allah comes down upon them and the malaika engulf them and Allah mentions them to those who are with him. So ikhwani, knowledge of the religion will help you to make this tawbah. And the knowledge is the first thing that was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first issue that he was preoccupied with and commanded when Allah ta'ala revealed the first five ayat of his book. Allah ta'ala did not command him to leave off khamr or to tell the people to leave off khamr or intoxicants. He didn't command him to tell the people to stay away from eating the dead carrion or the animals, the maita. He didn't tell them that. He didn't command Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the people to stop being highway robbers or to stop the nuhba, stealing people's money and being highway robbers. He didn't tell them to do any of those things that was well known from the practices of the people of al-jahiliyyah, from the evil things. Instead, the very first thing in the first ayat that were being dealt with were the ayats dealing with the importance of knowledge. When it was said to him, read. Ya Muhammad, read. Read in the name of your Lord who created mankind, and he created him, and he taught him by the pen, and he taught him that which he did not know. So the Sheikh went on to say, ikhwani, that Allah described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said he is the one. Allah has sent his prophet who was unlettered to the people who cannot read and write, and he purified them. And he read to them and he rehearsed to them the ayat of Allah and he purified them with the tazkiyah. And he said, those people who know and those people who don't know, they're not the same. Say unto them, Ya Muhammad, are they equal? Those who know and those who don't know, they're not equal. The people who have knowledge are better in degree. And then he read the ayat of the Quran in which Allah Ta'ala established, verily those people who fear Allah from his servants are the ulama, those who have knowledge of the religion. And then he went on to explain, because of their knowledge, they have the khashya, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal, and they know how to behave and to perform, and they know how to benefit themselves and to benefit others.
If there's a Muhammad Rizwan from Beach Road, there's somebody waiting to see you at the door. إن شاء الله الله يسر. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.
الشيخ began applying by his opening trying to cooperate without keeping in mind the brothers who only speak English. And I told Sheikh Abu Anis, don't make it very long. He said, you're the one who's making it long by explaining everything.
فإن الأخ أبا أنس حفظه الله فضيلة الشيخ قد ذكر الأسباب المعينة على التوبة، وذكر والآن عندما نذكر لابد أن نذكر أضداد ما قال فضيلة الشيخ، نذكر الأضداد فهذه هي المعوقات. والآن ربما نذكر بعض الأشياء مجرد الذكر، يعني نمر هكذا نذكر أسماءها لأن الأمر يقتضي هذا، وبعضها قد أفصل فيه بإذن الله.
الشيخ he went on to say إخواني that he's now going to explain to us after Sheikh Abu Anis has explained some of the issues that will help you to make Tawbah. Now his responsibility is now to share with us the dhikr and the mentioning of some of the things that will be a barrier between a person making Tawbah. Some of these things is just going to mention them and just move on. And then some of the other things is going to explain them in detail or elaborate upon them, inshaAllah ta'ala.
من أهم المعوقات وأخطرها وأولها الشرك بالله سبحانه وتعالى. الشرك أكبر معوق، لذلك دعا ذنون عليه السلام وهو في بطن الحوت في ظلمات ثلاث لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين، توسل بتوحيده ربه وتوسل بلا إله إلا الله لينقذه من هذه الظلمات. فالشرك أعظم عائق يسد باب التوبة ويوصدها ويغلقها.
The Shaykh, he said, إخواني, from the first of these barriers that will be a preventive measure from a person making a Tawbah, and the greatest one and the most serious one and most dangerous one of all of them is a shirk, polytheism. And he said, and for this reason we see Dhunnun, salawatullahi wassalamu alayhi, and when he was in the belly of the well and he was in the compounded darkness, multiple layers of darkness, he said, La ilaha illallah. He said that there is no God worthy of worship but Allah. Glory unto you, O Allah. Verily I was from those who were oppressive. So here he made a tawassul. He made a tawassul with La ilaha illallah to help him out of the condition that he was in, which was the complete darkness and the layers of darkness that he found himself in.
كذلك من أخطر هذه المعوقات عدم الإخلاص لله رب العالمين، يعني كما ذكر فضيلة الشيخ عدم الإخلاص في التوبة ذاتها ونفسها، وأيضا عدم الإخلاص لله في سائر الأعمال. عدم الإخلاص لله في سائر الأعمال سبب كبير في عدم توفيق هذا الإنسان إلى التوبة وألا ينال رحمة الله سبحانه وتعالى.
He said the second thing, Ikhwani, that will prevent a person from making a tawbah is for the person not to have ikhlas, for the person not to be sincere. As the Fadilati Shaykh mentioned already when he talked about sidq, it will prevent a person from making a tawbah. And not only would it prevent him from making tawbah, but in all of his deeds and his actions, if he doesn't have ikhlas, then his deeds and his actions won't be accepted. So this is one of the biggest reasons why a person won't have the tawfiq from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he won't receive the rahmah of Allah when he doesn't have al-ikhlas.
كذلك البعد عن الجماعة إنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاصية كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكن عليه أن يختار الجماعة التي تكون على السداد والرشاد، لأنه أحيانا تكون كل الجماعة في بطن الذئب، فلا بد من اختيار الجماعة الصحيحة. إنما يأكل الذئب من الغنم القاصية.
The Shaykh, he went on to say, from the things that will prevent you from making Toba is being far away from the Jama'ah, the group, the Muslim group. As the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, verily the wolf devours the sheep that's all by itself. The lonely sheep. That's the one who the wolf, he goes to get. But the Jama'ah that we're talking about is that the Jama'ah that is on guidance, and the jama'at, the group that is upon what is correct. Because when there are multiple jama'at, multiple groups, and they're not on what is correct, then all of them can actually be in the stomach of the wolf. They all can be devoured by the wolf.
كذلك إثار الدنيا على العلم والتعلم، إثار الدنيا على العلم والتعلم، وعدم بذل هذا الإنسان الوقت في هذا العلم والتعلم. ولا يخفى أن العالم له أجر عظيم، ولا يخفى أن للعالم أجرا عظيما عند الله سبحانه وتعالى، فأجر العباد وأجر الذين يتقربون إلى الله عز وجل في ميزان حسنات العالم الذي يدل على الخير، من دل على خير فله مثل أجر فاعله، ومن دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه، والأحاديث في ذلك كثيرة معلومة. فمجرد العلم الصادق لله عز وجل سبب في مغفرة الذنوب العظيمة وأن يوفق للتوبة، والمعوق ألا يكون من طلاب العلم أو من أهله أو من طويلبي العلم أو ممن يسلكون هذا السبيل أو ممن يصاحبون هذه الأصناف التي ذكرت.
Now, Ikhwani, the Shaykh brought this tremendous point that is a big problem in our community. Everyone should listen to the next one. He said, from what will prevent a person from making Tawbah as well is for a person to give preference to the dunya. To give preference to the dunya over getting knowledge and educating oneself about the religion. To be preoccupied with the dunya at the expense of learning the religion. And an individual not making efforts, all of the efforts that need to be made in order to spend time learning about his religion. So if a person doesn't learn about the religion and he preoccupies himself with his dunya and he allows the dunya to preoccupy him, that's one of the reasons that will come between you and the tawbah. He said it is not hidden from anyone. The reward, the tremendous reward that the scholar gets, the one who has knowledge of the deen about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For verily the one who worships Allah a lot, the ubad, those people who worship Allah a lot, and those people who get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who taught them how to do that will get the reward for teaching them. The one who put himself forth, made the effort, and he taught the ubad, and the people who make a taqarrub ila Allah, the one who taught them will get that reward as well. Like many of the hadith said, whoever guides the people or is the reason for people being guided to the khair or the good will get the reward of the one who does it. He's like the one who did it as well. Another hadith said, whoever is responsible for guiding people to al-huda, to al-guidance, he will get the reward for the one who does it as well. He said there are many hadith that come into this and explain this point. So as it relates to knowledge, if a person acquires knowledge and he spreads the knowledge and he shares the knowledge, that alone will help the Tawbah to come to him and the success from Allah, because he'll be getting the reward. He'll get the reward of all of those people who are doing things because of what he's teaching. So therefore, the person should be someone who's trying to be a scholar. He should be a student of knowledge. He should be a small student of knowledge who's on the way. He should take those kind of people as his companions. He should connect himself some way with knowledge and the people of knowledge.